the book of the prophecy of Isaiah at the 53rd chapter. Two questions in verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Here we have a double question, which is the great front gate to one of the most passionate chapters of the Word of God. We are introduced by this appeal in verse 1 of chapter 53 of Isaiah to the front gate of this mysterious revelation and mysterious identification of the whole mystery of the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. The inquiry is for the identification. Who hath believed our report? Whom is and has knowledge of who we are reporting on? This is an inquiry that is for the identification of the person whose shadow is carried on this great chapter and others in the prophecy of Isaiah. The inquiry is for the identification. Who is asked? Who can we identify? Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has special eyesight upon what is taking place? Upon this man who is more than any man that ever walked on our earth. He's the God-man, the creator of it all, and he is the Almighty God incarnate in the flesh. No human mind can measure the height or the depth or the breadth or width of the mystery that is here revealed. Here is a report beyond human mastering. And here is a revelation greater than all other revelations. For here we have the making bare of the arm of the Most High God. This is beyond human measurement. It is beyond earthly strength. O God, open our eyes to the divine instruction of this chapter and what it is teaching which is beyond our understanding as mere human beings. This is one of the divine mysteries of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. I was greatly struck when I turned to the New Testament and to three chapters there. Matthew chapter 27, verse 38. Mark chapter 15 and verse 28. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 37. What a picture is presented here. Christ suffering. It puts a question in all our minds. An impossible question for human beings to answer. But the answer is revealed to us by God the Father of his well-beloved Son. Christ made it possible for the deepest of the depths of the knowledge that is revealed can make the deepest of change in the heart of the sinner, saving him from the punishment of the law, cleansing him from the stain of sin, and making him a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The greatest work that ever was worked upon this earth was the work of our personal salvation by Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. This work defies all mortal understanding. Think of it. That the Almighty God became man and dwelt among us. That's amazing. But here's something more amazing. That the incarnate God gave himself to die for us sinners on the cross. I picked up the other day a little hymn book by a great Presbyterian preacher in Scotland, Dr. Bonner, Horatius Bonner. And he has a little hymn in that hymn book. When I read it, it touched the depth of my heart. He's writing about the cross. And he pens these words, "Ascribe ye strength to God, the mighty Lord is he. The God of majesty, Jehovah is his name. O'er all the earth his fame. Ascribe ye strength to God. His strength is in the clouds, girded with glorious might, compassed about with night, yet light his dwelling place, and light in all his ways, his strength is in the clouds. He rideth on the heavens. The heaven of heavens, it says, with all its light and bliss, his are the stars of light. His is the solemn night. He rideth on the heavens. Sing aloud to God our strength. Rejoice and praise his name. Rejoice and sound his fame. Rejoice before his face. Sing loud to God our strength. The strength of the enemies of Christ when he was upon the cross staggers us. This is the mystery of all mysteries. Christ, the incarnate God, the Son, should carry our sins and bear the punishment of hell for our sins in his own body on the tree. The great satanic wickedness of hell's strength was let loose on the body of the blessed Jesus Christ in order that Satan would have his power forever broken. And we poor prisoners, because of our sin, should be freed from sin's curse, washed in the blood of the Lamb, made heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The united satanic forces, which yelled their devilish revilement upon Christ as he died on the cross. But Christ took it all alone and gave his life a ransom to the men. Hell and its devils and its armies all joined in this blasphemous battle to murder the blessed Son of God. But Jesus Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah himself, no angels to help him, no followers to help him. He suffered, he died alone. And on his own, he broke the devil's bones forever. And by his strategy and strength, he defied all the depths of hell and smashed all the demons of its pit. Alone and betrayed, Christ took the field. and single handle. He defied the total powerful forces of the devil, and he fought the hordes of hell, the screaming demons thought they would cry him out of existence. But his was the power which silenced every trumpet of hell, broke every demon of the pit, vanquished Satan and all his hosts. Why? Christ was captain on that great day, at that great struggle of Calvary. Mercy there was great, and God's grace was free. That grace was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty, hallelujah, at Calvary. The fires of hell were quenched against the people of God. The leaders of Satan's kingdom were smashed and broken. And through the mist and the darkness and the bitterness and the agony, there stepped forth the victorious Son of God, the Lamb. He broke the devil's power, and through his blood we can be seated. Oh, the armies of hell rallied to that battlefield. I hear the cries of those who thought they were going to be victorious as they scorned and cursed and maligned and tried to kill the Son of God. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He prevailed finally, and he prevailed forevermore. Very humbly I say, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the immortal Prince of Peace. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Hallelujah! What a friend! Saving, keeping, loving, he'll be with me to the end. As I view the devil destroyed and his power broken, as I see my sins go down that river of blood to be forgotten and drowned in God's grace, there's a word that comes to my heart. Christ lives. Christ is enthroned. Christ is and will win peace and victory for all who will put their trust in him. forever. His kingdom shall stand untouched and untarnished. And there will be no end to it. And there will come the glorious crowning hour, and we will be crowned with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King of everlasting life is going to come back to this earth. Not to die, but to reign. And we shall reign with him. I don't know what we'll look like with crowns upon our heads. But I know that we will have hearts whiter than the snow, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'll be whiter than snow. Oh, the thine enemies, both on earth and from hell, were all destroyed. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. There is victory for me through the blood of Christ, my Savior. There is victory. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. He lives forever for his saints to reign. Hallelujah! 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 Christ the Lord. The timing of the Lord was perfect. It marked the great clock of God's purposes by God himself. We must wait for the further timing of the Lord when the Lion of the tribe of Judah shall have his coronation. Not with a crown of thorns, he wore that in hell, but with the crown of glory in the happy land of God. Hear God's control. Therefore the Lord, wait, that he may be gracious unto you at the voice of your cry, when he shall hear it and shall answer it. And we will see him as he is. And wonderful truth will be like him, conformed to the image of, conformed to the image of the Son of God. Could I just say that will be glory for me when I will look on his face? That will be glory. Be glory for me. What I want to pass on to you, what really happened there at Calvary? And what really happened at Calvary was something most wonderful. You know, when I take up the gospel, I see the simple record of Christ's death upon the accursed tree. But there and then, comes to my heart a flash of light, light in its fullness, light in its brightness, light in its glory. And I hear words of awful and tender simplicity. And I say, how are all these things related? There came a woman. She was standing outside the open sepulchre. She was all alone. She had lived a terrible life. But one day she received Christ as her Savior and her Lord. Mary was her name. And she was saved when seven devils were cast out of her heart. And she became a loving worshiper of her blessed Emmanuel. But isn't it wonderful to think that the first person Jesus spoke to after he had gone through the dark shadows and suffering of Calvary, the first person to hear his risen voice was Mary of Magdala. What a day that was when Jesus Christ spoke to her again. And in the words he could say to her, "Woman, why weepest thee?" These are the first words of the risen Jesus. For Mark tells us he appeared first of all to Mary Magdalene. And Matthew sums it all up in the entire narrative and makes it clear that she was, at the least, one of the first group who saw the risen Lord. But more than that, she was the first person to talk to him after he rose from the dead. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn and weep. Blessed are the meek. Yes, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that day outside Joseph's tomb, not empty, the risen Christ stands, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. He meets a woman of a report, but a woman that he loved on to redemption crime. And yonder in the heights of glory, at this very moment, Mary, in all the splendor of a blood-washed robe, stands in awe and worship of the King of Kings the Lord of Lords. And isn't it interesting that this was the first person the dying Savior spoke when he was risen from the dead? Oh, what a wonderful day that was for Mary. There's a song that only blood-washed ones can sing. There is a shout that only blood-washed ones can make. There is a gladness that only firstborn ones can enjoy. And that is the song that Christ gave us the day we saved us. He saved us. And that is the gladness of heart that entered into our mind and spirit. The voices of our enemies are all silenced. We're not going to hear them anymore. But we have a song. We have a gladness. It may not always be in tune, but it always has the right words in it. The gladness of a soul is sealed by the grace of God. The way to Egypt will have all its curses uplifted from those that are trusting in Christ. The idols with the fall will be thrown away, and the princes of God shall reign forever in the righteousness of the God-man, the man Christ Jesus. Behold, the King shall reign, and behold, the King doth reign. We have a song, even in the night. We have a gladness in the heart, even in the darkest day. For through God's voice, the voice of our enemies are all silent. And we shall have a song in heaven. A song of unparalleled gladness. I'm inviting you to come and hear my first solo. It'll be dead on in tune, but its words will only be for those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. But there is a woe to those who turn their back on the cross. There's a woe for those who reject God's blessed Son. The way to Egypt only carries the curse stronger upon your heart. Idols, if they are not smashed and broken, will bring a curse to you through the whole damnation of darkness in the valley of the shadow of eternal death. As the divine prophet witnessed, behold, the King shall reign in righteousness and princes in judgment. And a man will be a hiding place and the shadow of a great rock and a weary land. Blessed are ye that sow beside all water, that send forth their corn, spread forth their corn at the feet of the ox. This is the everlasting revival eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither can it be known what is in the heart of the man washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is the beginning of heaven. This is the end of the punishment and the bringing forth of the everlasting love, peace, and righteousness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The shout of everlasting victory, the shout of everlasting peace, the echo of revival forever, God's everlasting kingdom. Here is the eternal uncovering of all the riches of Emmanuel's land. The bride hides not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. We will not gaze on glory, but on the King of Kings. I'll bless the heart that plans. I'll bless the hand that blesses and throne where Jesus dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. There shall we shout the praises of him who has everlastingly called us from darkness into light. I tell you, we'll never say goodbye in heaven. We'll never say goodbye, but in that land of joy and song, we'll never say goodbye. Dear sinner, call on Christ. Cry out, God, be merciful for me, the sinner, and his blood will cleanse you. His peace will fill you, and his joy unspeakable, and glory unspeakable with glory will fill you with peace. And on the day for your uplift to heaven, you'll fly in the cloud of God with everlasting power. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Call upon him now. The Bible tells me that if you call upon him, he'll hear you and save you and give you peace for tonight, peace for tomorrow, peace forever other tomorrow. And peace for every night until one day we step from this planet to the heaven of heaven. And I guarantee to you, your heaven will be to heaven in Emmanuel's life. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.